Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And welcome, episode 96 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
No Eric.
Luke and Martin here today. No Eric, because Eric has no internet. Along with having no headphones, he now has no internet, so he'd be absolutely useless today to have here.
Apparently, his in the snowstorm, we all live, three of us live in Toronto, so we all got about a foot of snow.
And hey, we got a lot of snow, too.
Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
did you get a foot of snow?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, it's fucked. It's fucked.
Martin, turn your mic down a bit, bud.
Yeah, I know. Normally he's too quiet, right? Yeah. And now he's too loud.
I'm looking at the sound graph. You're like a full.
Hey, normally I'm like a no spike. So
I know. It's different. Average. You're filling in for Eric today, who normally breaks the spike chart every single time because he just puts the mic in his mouth.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
But so apparently the snowplow came around Eric's house and took out his internet box, which is in front, which isn't a weird spot on the street, but took it out. So he's no longer with us. He is alive, but he's no longer with us, at least today. And today we're going to talk about, I feel like hockey has been not very interesting lately, but we're going to talk about Montreal hiring Ken Hughes. I guess we can touch on Kadri making it to the All-Star game for like a second.
For Eric's sake.
The Jim Matheson, Leon Draisaitl.
That was hilarious.
Hissy fit.
That was pretty funny.
We're going to talk. Well, some of the games were rescheduled as well. So we could talk a little bit about that. And it looks like some teams might have to play quite a bit in a 15-day span. Martin's Ottawa playing 10 times in 15 days in the rescheduled. But before we get into that, the snow. Everyone, Ty, you don't have anything to shovel, but homeowner Martin, what did you shovel?
I've shoveled a lot, and I had to repeatedly shovel. I got blessed, though. I don't have a service, but the front part of my driveway was obviously fucked the one day from the snowplow. And some guy, I was shoveling the driveway, and some guy was driving past with a plow in the front of his truck, and he offered to shovel it for me. Did like three passes and did all the heavy stuff. And I was like, bless up. But I still
had to. Did you pay him?
No. He was just driving around in like a Government of Canada truck. So I don't know what's that about. But
it's our taxpayer dollars. Clarence Martin's driveway.
That guy not doing his job. but bless up to him, man. That was much appreciated. Probably saved me an hour. But I still had a lot to shovel. Still have some left to shovel.
You still have more to shovel?
Oh yeah,
crazy.
I have a big driveway.
Me too, but today it melted, so it's gonna be super heavy.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately for you,
you better do it before it all freezes over, Marty.
That's why I also need to get into the back of my driveway because I need to store more cars in here soon. So
More cars. Yeah. Who's coming?
Well, my one tenant's been away. He has a car.
Oh, true. But, yeah. Man, it was... I don't know why some people were driving. Like, our street had about a foot of snow on it, and there was a couple cars that were driving down, and they were too low. So they just had to, like, the very bottom of their car was, like, a plow, and they would just stop them every, like, 10 feet, every 20 feet. And me and my neighbors were both out, and we're watching this. We have to, like, we go in, out and shovel, like, the top layer of just the top layer of snow off the middle of the street so they can get down the road. Because they're like, oh, yeah, we're just around the corner. But they were like around the corner and then halfway down the street. So we got them down the corner and then we're like, okay, you got it from here. We're not helping you anymore. Because it's like, what are you doing?
Where were people going? Like, honestly.
I know.
That night, like, so it got in, like, it started over Sunday night, right? And we woke up on Monday morning to this a shit ton of snow. And that night I had to deliver, like Monday night I had to deliver, and there was some sticky situations. But I definitely saw a lot of cars get stuck, and I was not one of them, thankfully. I know how to drive in the snow.
Okay, so, Martin, we get it. You're good at everything.
Yeah, we get it. But it's not even about knowing how to drive in the snow. It's literally, it was almost physically impossible.
Yes.
For cars to drive.
That's the thing, right? Just don't drive into that situation.
How do you know what street has that involved? Like, you know, like I live in a pretty, Kingston's, like, not a major street, but we live right by a major street, and it took them a full 24 hours to plow our road.
Yeah.
That was like an unprecedented amount of snow, though. Like, we got literally...
Well, we live in unprecedented times.
We live in unprecedented times by a Toyota. But, like, we got literally 30 centimeters of snow in a 8-hour span, right? 40 centimeters. Yeah. How much did we get here? Like, 40, feels like?
Yeah. And then we got more the next
just,
day.
Yeah, and it just kept coming. Like, overnight, though. Like, Sunday night, there was no snow on the ground for me. It was freezing cold. And they're like, it's going to snow a lot. 10 centimeters in the city, 30 centimeters elsewhere. And then it was like 30 centimeters in the city, 60 centimeters elsewhere.
Yeah.
The problem with bigger cities is your plows, like, have way more to cover, right? I mean, there's more of them. But Kingston's roads, the main roads, like, on the Monday... the plow had come down my street 5 times or 6 times by the end of the day, because I'm on a bus route too, though. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we get it. You small town folk, get it nice.
I don't think I've ever seen a snowfall like that. Like, I was out shoveling for about 2 hours twice.
That's never happened.
Yeah.
Like, this was literally, I'm if you've seen me before, I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm 6'3.5", taller than Luke. And this was up to over my knees. I mean, there's a lot of blowing snow as well, but when I was going outside to shovel at first, it was like in my backyard and my front yard, it was like up to over my knees, which is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you see your car?
No, I couldn't. I sent you pictures of it, didn't I?
I know.
It took me over 2 hours to get my car. Like, I had to wait till yesterday to do it, but I had to, like, clear out my driveway, take all the snow off my, I couldn't even move my car out of my driveway. But that's also because it's not built for the snow.
You should get a cover for it for the winter.
I know, but I still drive it frequently enough that it wouldn't make sense. But like I can't
get, no like get now. Like a awning or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. But
There's a guy up the street from me who has one for his Camaro in the winters.
That's a good idea. You're a smart guy. You're a really smart guy.
That's not good for the staying. That's not good for the staying.
The snow or the awning?
The snow.
Yeah,
the awning is what you need.
Yeah. Especially since your staying doesn't even fit in your garage on a good day, right? It's too damn.
No, it doesn't. It's in the driveway, right? So
it's almost like Mother Nature was telling us, hey, don't send your kids back to school.
Yeah.
Monday was the day they were supposed to go back.
And then they had most places had a snow day yesterday too.
You know what sucks though? They have a snow day, but because they can technically do school from home now because
they do that?
The infrastructure. I think I saw that.
I don't think so. I think they had a proper snow day.
It was like a proper.
Because I think people were mad that it wasn't a proper snow day at first.
No.
There was an announcement. There was a tweet from Toronto.
I think they were more mad that they still had their kids in the house.
Yeah, that too. I don't know. It's just like, I feel bad for parents. I did an interview with someone who had her kids home and she had to go on mute like 30 times because the kid had just fallen and hurt her wrist or something. And so she's like, sorry, I have to go on mute. Like, sorry, I have to go on mute. Screaming. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I feel for parents that have to do it, but
go ahead. The best thing to do with a kid that's hurt himself is like, unless it's a real serious injury, act like they shouldn't be hurt. Cause if you act all panicked, the kid will freak out. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you act like, hey, you should be okay, you'll be okay. Like they'll be like, okay, I'm okay. Okay.
So there is psychological evidence to tell your boys don't cry when they're crying. Right. That's what you're saying. Is that what you're saying? You're a toxic man. Is that what you're saying, Martin? Cause that's what I hear.
I'm just saying.
Do you cry, Martin?
Kids are more likely to freak out if you freak out that they're hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but Martin, well, question. Do you? When was the last time you cried?
I cry all the time, dude. I'm like Tom Holland.
I think I don't know the last time I cried without like a movie making me. Like it's only movies that make me cry. Like I always cried during Good Will Hunting. That was like probably the last time I cried.
I cry every time Dumbledore dies. Can't not.
Bro, are you kidding me?
Come on.
Who cares about Dumbledore?
Get a life.
The only person in Harry Potter that I cried for was Fred.
What about Dobby?
I didn't really care.
That didn't cry over Dobby.
That didn't hurt me. Fred dying was...
What about Snape?
No.
Snape, when I first read it in the book, was pretty like, oof.
All right. Well,
Martin was traumatized.
Thanks for joining our therapy talk for the first 10 minutes of this podcast. Let's transition to what you actually want to hear about.
The French, Montreal Canadiens hire agent
Kent Hughes.
Yeah. Kent Hughes. It sounded like he only got one interview, but it seems like he was the ideal target. I was reading on Twitter saying that his like first round interview was the Friday. And then it was like the weekend was spent convincing him to join the Canadiens. Monday, they were negotiating late into the night. And then it was signed Tuesday morning. What do you guys think about this hire? It seems a bit off brand to not go with a hockey guy. They went with a player agent. Now Patrice Bergeron is without representation because apparently Bergeron was signed to this guy. What are our thoughts on this move by Montreal?
I will say it's an interesting hire for sure. You're right. I mean, if you look at the candidates though, they were going with guys who were not, you know, like rehires. They weren't going with, you know, guys who are GMs elsewhere. I mean, I guess if you're also Montreal, an important, whether you like it or not, an important thing is that you have to speak French for that market. So I mean your options are limited in that regards, but you know none of the people who are suggested or who are rumored to be in the running were rehires. I mean there were still some, like if you look at Daniel Briere was considered, Patrick Roy was considered for a little bit, but I don't think they got serious consideration. It was mostly Kent Hughes I heard from the beginning, and Matthew Darche, who is he's in the hockey ops side of things for Tampa. And those were the two final candidates. They also were actually rumored to have interviewed a couple like female candidates as well, you know, for hashtag progressive NHL maybe, but they were
still have hires to do, don't they?
I'm not sure. I mean, the main thing is the GM, but they were actually interviewing mm-hmm. other candidates who, you know, aren't your usual suspects.
Because there was talk like whether Briere would be like poached from, where is he, Philly or something?
I think he would.
Philly's office.
Yeah, I think he would. Like I said, if you're anyone who's like a, you know, you're in an assistant GM or in hockey ops and you speak French, I mean, you could be considered for this job. I don't know how far Daniel Briere got in the running, but the only two that I heard on like Sunday night, Monday night, who were like, you know, the finalists were Darche mm-hmm. and Kent Hughes. So, I mean, you can go with the guy for, I think that this is a, a interesting hire because they're going with a guy who was a player agent. I don't know any other GMs who came that route. I believe that Gordon. Jeff Gordon did. Yeah, Gordon exactly. Other than him. So say what you want about the Rangers and the team that he built while he was with the Rangers, but you know, he came that way. They were kind of successful-ish until they decided to he made some good moves. Did he make the Zibanejad trade? I feel like he did.
Yeah.
Look at how that's that's worked out for the team. They've bottomed out a little bit. Yeah, Panarin. He signed Panarin.
Not like he did that. Like Panarin wanted to go there, so it was kind of And Adam Fox wanted to go there too. So
there's no line of work that we can really compare Kent Hughes to. We can't really look at him and say, here's what he did as a GM. Or assistant GM, here's the teams that he helped build, right? Like how you could for other guys, which is why, you know, I was looking at it. I was like, okay, they're going to hire Darche from the Tampa Bay Lightning because of the successful organization that's there. And, you know, he's been a part of that. So I think that you'd be happy as a Montreal Canadian because of what the team that Bergevin built and, you know, the way the team's looking right now, I think that you're fine with a guy who's like outside the box, right? A guy who's a new guy. I think you're fine because if you're looking at this team, they're likely going to finish last place or somewhere in the last place, near last place, right? Top first overall pick. They're going to be starting fresh. You know, what's the pieces that they have? You know, they're going to maybe move on from. Are they going to move on from Gallagher? Are you going to move on from Price and, you know, start rebuilding from scratch? I don't know. So I think it makes sense to have a guy like him come in to say, all right, here's your team. Let's see what you can do.
It seems to me that they want it to go quieter in their front office, meaning like Bergevin was obviously a pretty loud character in the NHL, pretty name brand. And they had recent PR issues obviously, and it seems like they kind of wanted to go like a little quieter. Like Gordon, by all accounts, like what I've heard about him, is just put his nose down and work. Ken Hughes being a player agent that you don't really hear about, not like Alan Walsh or some of these other guys, seems
also. Martin, can you name another player agent other than Alan Walsh?
Who's that Russian guy? He represents like all the
Dan Middleston?
Yeah.
Or whatever or something. But Milstein. The only reason you hear about him is Patrick Kane. Because he only tweets to defend Patrick Kane. That's his only.
No, he represents like every Russian player that comes over. Like that new guy that's coming over that is over a point per game. And apparently Ottawa is like really interested in. But Milstein says like everyone's interested in. Whatever that guy's name is. I don't know off the top of my head more. I know like there's an agency that is mentioned a whole bunch. I'm just not remembering the names. But it seems like he's a pretty quiet guy. Interesting to go. Most GMs go from scout to GM. It seems better to have someone that would be good at these negotiation processes for what they're about to have to go through, because they have some pretty bad contracts, and maybe they looked at that, the owner looked at that and was like, hey, I don't want to be paying a guy like Josh Anderson $5 million next time around. Yeah. Like, let's get some good player contracts in here. And you have to imagine he's a pretty good negotiator and he knows his side, the old side that he
did. He's switching sides. Yeah. Did Jeff Gordon sign good contracts in your opinion, Martin? Couple of good ones, couple of bad ones in his time with New York.
The Trouba one's pretty bad.
I think, so to me, I think the hire is most interesting from a player management perspective because this is a guy who's had direct relationships with players. Yeah. And I think that this shows that they want their next GM to be a little bit more cultural focused. I don't think you bring in a GM who was an agent who you wouldn't want to build relationships with the players that you currently have. I also think that it is, as you said, a very good negotiating tactic. This guy spent his whole life fighting for contracts for players, like with GMs, So he knows how to game GMs, and he probably knows how to not be gamed. So he probably knows that he won't get good or bad. Or you hope that he doesn't get bad contracts or sign bad contracts during free agency. A lot of agents find these guys when they're young, when they're still. So he's probably a scout or knows a lot of scouts too. Like this actually is a pretty intelligent way of going about it from almost every standpoint. They know the business. They don't have to negotiate. They know what people can leverage in those negotiations. Ironically, this time it's just him fighting against the player being like, no, you're not worth that much. Normally he is being like, you know, you are worth that much. You are this good. Let's get you $3 million more than what you're worth. But from what I understand about the guys that he signed, he did sign guys who like to stay in the same place and have a little bit of loyalty and maybe like is willing. Yeah. And maybe he's willing to, you know, I guess those are the guys that he likes and those are the guys that he wants to come play for him. Like there's already rumors of Patrice Bergeron going to Montreal to go like, you know, for the final years of his career. But I don't think
it's gonna happen, I don't see that ever happening. Yeah. I think it's just that there's a link there that they're saying,
they're just saying the link plus Bergeron's French, like from Quebec. So,
I mean, it would be kind of nice if he's already got, if he's got another Stanley Cup and, you know, he's just like, whatever, what the hell. But again, I think it is very smart from just they are around these guys and top talent from when they're like 14, bursting onto the scene because they know they need to be proactive in getting a lot of the top talent and signing them. Yep. Being a GM is really no different. So I think it's an intelligent hire.
Apparently Ken Hughes, he had a guy that's going to go get drafted in the top like a 20 or 25.
His son, Jack Hughes.
Oh, okay.
That's his son. His son is Jack Hughes, not the Jack Hughes on New Jersey. There's a second Jack Hughes who's going to be drafted somewhere in the first or second round this
year. So that's a little unfair. He didn't scout that guy.
So would he be allowed to draft him?
Yeah, but I don't see why there would be.
In Winnipeg, Lowry's dad is coach now. Lots of nepotism.
Dude, that's like you know the select team in hockey when you're a kid.
Like Lou Lamorello is apparently his son is the AGM in New York, and apparently like if Lou retired, like it seems very likely that his son would just step into the position.
Nice.
Lots of nepotism.
I think that there's one interesting thing about the hire, and we're going to see it play out on the French media, and maybe you guys are or are not interested in this aspect of it, but although Kent Hughes speaks French, because he was in the Quebec area, I believe it was when he was growing up, or maybe he's lived there for a long period of time, so he speaks French, but it's not his first language. Mm. Every other Montreal GM that I can list off the top of my head was an actual francophone. So we're going to see he's a native English speaker who knows French. So we're going to see how this goes. Apparently speaks it pretty well, but we're going to see how the media treats him as a result, the French media.
It's all nonsense, as Eric always says, because like Gordon doesn't speak French. So they can get
GM.
Yeah, but he'll have a translator, I'm sure. Like they'll have a translator on staff. And if there was any issues with Hughes's ability to master or his mastery of French already,
I think he does. I think it's just like we're gonna see how they treat him, because I don't know if you remember, I don't remember that his name off the top of my head, but Montreal, I think it was in the late 2000s or early 2010s, had an English speaking coach, and he was just like ripped on in the media nonstop.
I don't remember.
Wasn't it the guy that was the assistant coach of the Leafs for a bit?
I don't remember. I'm sorry. It's not crossing. Someone
fact checked. It seems like Hughes is kind of like a good name in Montreal. Like he's from there. They still take in their own, even if you're not French first. It's just the fact that he knows French.
I don't agree with that, Martin. I'm sorry.
It looks Montreal's like the English guy English was too. Randy William Cunnyworth. Is that the name that you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't do very well.
He was ripped on nonstop, I remember. Was this like 2008, 2009, I feel?
2011.
Close.
Yeah.
He was and then the coaches after that were Michel Therrien, Claude Julien. I think Michel Therrien again, Claude Julien again.
The other question is, does Ducharme get fired soon?
Or he's going to get fired at the end of the year for sure.
Yeah, I would guess.
He's not.
I think he was even going to get. I think we talked about this back in the Montreal's playoff run that like if they lost against Toronto, I think they would have fired him. Fired. He was gone.
He was gone. So,
but this year he's really shown that. I mean, Montreal's clearly trying to tank. They've had some. They've Weber's out, Price's out. I mean, that's not the tank part of it, but like the lineups that they're putting together are just insane. And players being out with injuries and everything like that, I think they're fine with bottoming out this year and starting fresh. And I don't think there's any way Ducharme's coming back because he's clearly not an NHL coach based on, you know, the his even from last year, right? Yeah. He was clearly outmatched. They all had the a time. Lucky streak, mm-hmm. lucky run there, and
well,
this year's
Carey Price,
yeah,
Carey Price stood on his head,
yeah.
Yes, you can't coach good goaltending, yeah. Which Edmonton's realizing.
Yeah.
Ah, speaking
good
of
transition.
Edmonton. Good yeah, trade. Great
talked
transition.
Talked about Edmonton man. 3 weeks in a row. Let's make it four.
This week, though, is not about how bad they are on the ice. It's how bad they are off the ice.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And now we'll get back into the show.
There was that whole Jim Matheson, don't get pissy with me. Why are you being so pissy? What's he say? Why are you being so pissy?
Why are you being so pissy?
Why are you being so pissy?
Yeah. God. That I laughed out loud. Because, I mean, we've been sending Jim Matheson tweets in the group chat for like years now about his bad takes. And Martin or Eric's been posting them on Talking Hockey, a lot of his bad takes. And I don't know. I don't see this as Leon's fault at all. Like, maybe the only part was where he added on. He's like, you think you know everything anyways? Like, obviously, they don't like this guy.
You know, it wasn't exactly that. It was like, you know everything.
Yeah, you know everything. Whatever. Yeah. Same, basically the same thing.
Same thing.
I gotta be honest with you though. You want to talk about Edmonton media that they don't like? I don't even think that Matheson's like top five worst in Edmonton. Like, and that's saying something, right? Like, there are worse reporters in Edmonton. Like, David Staples, Mark Spector, Mark Spector is a Sportsnet writer, and he's also the head of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. I don't know if you've ever read his stuff, but it's insane.
Right? I thought Frank Cerebelli was the president of the
BE. Well, I thought Spector used to be. Someone look fact check it. Spector's up there, and but it's hilarious how they're all like, "How is Leon's talking to a Hall of Famer like this?" They get voted in by other writers. Like, he's not even in the Hall of Fame. It's just like he got recognized by the Hockey Hall of Fame. Yeah. He's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, writers don't go into the Hockey Hall of Fame, I'm pretty sure.
He just got like some award. He got like an award or got recognized. Yeah.
And that's probably just because he's been there. Like, I heard, like, I was hearing, like, he's like been there 50 years almost. Yeah. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. And
that's probably the only reason he's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank is the president since 2019, but Mark Spector was the president 2017 to 2018.
Insanity.
His writing is really bad. I don't know. I just saw everyone come on Twitter and just like a lot of the people in the media community were like, Jim did nothing wrong. And well, I'm like,
He didn't exactly do nothing wrong, but he didn't exactly like. He wasn't asking poor questions. He might have asked it like too much. He was getting. He was trying to get Leon, obviously, to say
that he was
like explode and be like, "Our fucking goaltending sucks, or our defense sucks. Someone sucks."
He but was leading.
Yeah,
it was a manipulative question with a goal of wanting him to be outraged.
But that's
and then what reporters got
want
it.
To do.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what shocks me? The reporters are reporters and they ask a lot of questions and some of them still ask like 35 second long questions. And you're like, what? Like you've been in this for 40 years and you're still not able to put a question to a hockey guy that you know is going to answer your question with obviously five times in there and some other mumbo jumbo that doesn't actually mean anything.
The amount like, it's ridiculous. The amount of reporter gaffes you've seen, like, have you seen those ones on like TSN's top 10 of like reporter gaffes where they at, like it's a tennis match and they ask them about some match that the guy didn't even play in. Like,
no, they asked like they asked how he felt about his win, and then the guy's like, I lost.
That's it. Like stuff like that happens way too much for these reporters. For some of these reporters, like
I'm sure. Okay, at a tennis tournament though, I'm sure reporters are kind of running around watching different matches and stuff. That's like fair. Game, you're there's only one hockey game going on,
and he's covering this team. He's not a national writer. He's like an Edmonton Oilers writer.
Yeah.
So I think actually like. Like Jim Matheson is an idiot. I've talked about the Oilers media. They all suck. But like Leon Draisaitl is a huge baby. Like I don't know if you I don't know that maybe that's taking it too far. But like he gets pissed off on the ice really easily. He's sucky. I can see that in the way he plays. I can see that in the way like he
acts. He's a mopey guy.
He mopes if something goes
maybe
wrong.
Maybe that's part of why it. Edmonton sucks. One
I know.
Of the best players.
These are their leaders.
Else mopes like quite a lot when things
McDavid?
Go wrong.
McDavid?
McDavid.
No, Ty.
Okay. But I'm
so
not
Ty can recognize it quite well.
Exactly. Yeah, Ty
looks at his beer. I look at his expression and I see a guy who's being a big sucky baby when things aren't going his way. Listen, Leon, if you want your team to be better, why don't you set an example and learn to play some defense? Same with McDavid, right? Like, you guys are literally giving up on plays. You guys are the team. The team has won like two games of their last 14, something like that. Dave Tippett hasn't won a game behind the bench in a long time.
I will say, no matter what defense Leon and McDavid can offer, if they're not getting a save, like they're gonna lose.
Well, who would have seen that coming with signing Mike Smith? Who would have seen that coming with going running it back with a guy who's 39 years old?
I think Leon, in that instance, that instance of questioning, shouldn't have like tried to stay the course of keeping silent. He should have been like, Ken Holland fucked us. This is what fucked us.
There's no way he would say that.
There's no.
But why not? Who's more important to that team, Leon Draisaitl or Ken Holland?
I think Ken Holland.
Do you think these guys?
He would get ripped on by this media.
Leon Draisaitl is way more important to that team than Ken Holland because Ken Holland's driving that team into
Edmonton
the fucking
media
ground.
Would be like crybaby European. They'd be like Don Cherry and flame him for some sort of
that's the most person most at fault.
But okay, do you think Draisaitl and McDavid think Ken Holland's at fault? Like
I don't think McDavid thinks that because McDavid clearly has the power over Ken Holland to make. Ken Holland do whatever the fuck McDavid wants. Not
so then Draisaitl should be like, McDavid should be gone. But based on your logic, if McDavid controls the hand of Holland, then Draisaitl should be calling up McDavid, not Holland.
I think McDavid might have pretty big pull over whoever is GM there. Because
you know what?
At some point, it's going to come to McDavid saying, I'm out. Like I'm done.
I think
I'm done
this is
here.
I think this is the order of who Draisaitl and McDavid think are at fault for things in Edmonton. The coach, one, two, the shitty players that they have to play with, and three, Ken Holland. I don't think players look at it from like a logical perspective of, well, this GM got the coach. Like this GM's the one that paid me. This GM's the one that does all these things. These guys aren't living up to the potential that the coach or GM has. I don't think they're as mad at Ken Holland. They probably don't have as much daily conversation with Ken Holland. I think they're mostly mad or upset with the coach and the players.
But at this point, if you're a player and you think hey, it's goaltending fucking us hard. How can you not say my GM is in turn fucking us hard because he... Because
I don't think they're that smart, bro. I don't think they're that smart. I really don't. I really don't think hockey players are that smart. Like, some of them maybe are, but I don't think they are. Like, I just, what have you seen ever where that is even a conversation that you think is had between players? Oh,
and yet,
you think McDavid and Draisaitl are out for dinner being like, yo, you know, really sucks. Ken Holland, man, can you believe that this guy signed Keith? Oh, wait, no, I told him to go do that. Can you believe this guy wants Kane? Oh, wait, no, I want him to go get Kane.
But they might say, can you believe he gave a 40-year-old Mike Smith a $2 million for 2 years?
But they probably contract? Love Mike Smith. They probably love Mike Smith. He seems like a great locker room guy. That's all they care about. I think they care about their boys getting paid more than they care about any other factor of like...
I think at some point they're going to care about winning. Cause...
At some point, yeah. But I don't think they blame winning on Ken. I think most of them blame it on the coach.
Ty's also temporarily left.
Yeah.
I don't think they are blaming the coach too hard yet. Like it would seem more out front. Like take Vancouver, for example. Like, it seemed like they gave up on Travis Green. Like, you could just see it. But that was them telling them, whoever is in charge at that point, because Benning might have been gone even at that point, that, hey, we're not playing for this guy anymore. Like, it's done. We're done here.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think Leon handled it okay. I don't mind when players show a little bit of personality and call out media. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't mind the non-answer. I think he answered and then he got pushed for an answer and he said no. And then he got pushed for an answer again. And he's like,
Matheson.
He's basically just said, write whatever you're going to write because that's what you're going to do anyways.
Yeah.
So
Matheson needs to learn no means no.
Yeah. Like, that was just a ridiculous. And I understand you're probing for content. You need material to write about. But I mean, what do you like? Okay. If you ever read a sports article, there's sometimes one or two quotes that are used in the article. You don't need that much to go on. The journalists do frame the rest of the article around those quotes. That's what their job is. The only people that seem to be able to get like personal sit downs with players are not like these journalists, you know. It's mostly The Athletic that seems to be able to respect the athlete enough to get high depth quality interviews.
I mean I have heard that in a normal year, not COVID year, these reporters do talk face to face, like one-on-one, quite often. It might be off the record stuff, but yeah, like, quite often they have interactions with them.
Also, I don't doubt it, but I just think that these guys would rather go to, like, nowadays there's so much new media, and new media is The Athletic, new media is Spitting Chicklets, to go out and share kind of like more of those intimate things. They don't go to TSN and all these guys who only go out after the game and really get paid to cause drama. Like, I don't really think The Athletic gets paid to cause drama like a lot of the other sensationalized companies do.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Athletic, at least on the surface, appears to be looking for the truth.
Yeah.
Their motto.
We can transition from there to Kadri makes it to the All-Star game in the fan votes. It sounds like, yay, Eric, you got your wish. Okay, we can move on. You're not even here to talk about it.
Well, McKinnon also got his wish. But yeah, not in the proper way.
I liked how many players came out and being like, actually, this is a good point of talking. How many players came out and said it's absolute bullshit that every team needs a representative there? Because that is ridiculous. This is an all-star game, not all teams represented game. Why is Nick Suzuki there, man? Like,
this is true.
There's so many players there that shouldn't be there. And there's lots of players. Like, to me, it's almost like, who cares about defense? Who cares about offense? Just take the top eight goalies, top two goalies from each division, and then take the top three players and two defensemen from each division, and then like fan vote on the three others. I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem that hard to really think about it.
Well, no matter what, just based on like the size of the how many people they actually bring, you're gonna leave out some very good names. It is kind of stupid that they have to include someone from every team. Someone presented this as an idea, and I think it's a really good idea. If you're going to insist on taking someone from every team, go with a bigger roster size and only take certain people for like certain events in the like skills competition, right? Because you have the skills competition and you have the games. So if you take certain people just for the skills competition, you cover the basis of getting a player from that team there, but you don't per se see them in the game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And it includes more players just at that point. Like you get more people there, which is what it kind of seems like the players are asking for.
Yeah.
By McKinnon being like, hey, there should be like five people from Colorado, which he very well could be right. Like there could be five people from Colorado.
And it's just like, why is anyone from Arizona there?
Yeah.
Why is anyone, I don't think anyone from Vancouver really deserves it. No one from Montreal probably deserves it. Like there's a lot of teams that just aren't deserving of it. And it seems like more of a I mean, I know it's a participation game. And there's lots of fans that go out there and be like, well, they want to see their favorite team. And there's lots of kids that want to see
that's this. Why. Like, that's it.
And
that's
why. That's why. But who cares? Like, had them in the skills competition.
But they're going to go anyway. The fans
interested, really care?
Yeah, the fans interested enough to go are going to go anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only the fans of the people in that area. Like, I don't know anyone who would, like, fly out to an all-star game.
Well, this year people might because it's in fucking Vegas.
That's true.
So it's just going to be a good time all around. Like,
yeah.
But
like, done off the kids. Year, like, if you're taking your, then you're not taking your kids to Vegas, probably.
No. Well, but they say it's for the kids, like the All-Star game's for the kids, like, which is true. Like if you look at the fans most interested, it probably is the kids.
People, it 100% is the kids. I just don't know why you need all that participation. Like Leo Komarov going was a joke. John Scott going was a joke. John Scott was a good joke going, but like, I don't know. Like as a player, I'd be like, I don't want to go. I don't feel like I'm worthy of it. Like, it's just like a participation medal for a lot of these guys that I think would actually be like,
I do wonder that, like, how do these guys feel when they're there? Like the guys that don't seemingly belong there. Like, does Nick Suzuki look at himself and be like, the fuck did I do this year that
makes me belong here? I feel like I'd be there for pity, like strictly out of pity.
Like straight up, that's what he's there for.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure none of the players there like tell him that, but McKinnon's comments can't make Suzuki feel very good, but he probably agrees with them potentially.
Yeah. But like McKinnon doesn't give a shit about if Nick Suzuki feels good. I don't think.
No. Just FYI, Suzuki has 21 points in 38 games. Like that's
hardly over half a point a game when and there's like four
Kadri
guys.
Kadri wasn't invited. He's top five in points. Like wasn't an outright invite. That's
insane. More insulting. That's more insulting to not be invited when you're having a career year like that than Nick Suzuki being invited or not than being like invited and you're like, bro, why the hell are you here?
Especially with a guy like Kadri, like, will he do this again? Like, will he have a year like this again? Like, potentially not. Like, easily could see Kadri not doing this again. So,
yeah.
It is interesting.
Kind of shifting from the All-Star game, obviously the league isn't going to the Olympics anymore, so they're using what was set as the kind of like post-All-Star game Olympic break as a time to catch up on games. The NHL released their new scheduled games, games that were all postponed for this time. It seems like it's a 15-day span, and quite a lot of teams are playing quite a lot of games, with Ottawa being the most. Ottawa plays 10 games in those 15 days, and other teams like the Hurricanes, Maple Leafs, Oilers, and Jets will play 8. I mean, 10 games over 15 days sounds like a lot.
It does.
That's a huge disadvantage for Ottawa. I think 8 over 15 is pretty normal.
I mean, Ottawa did get fucked this year because they got a round of COVID in the Delta strain. So earlier in the year, like in the fall, and then everybody got COVID in the Omicron strain. So they've missed a lot of games. Because they were one of the only teams to face an original postponement of games. So they just have a lot of games to make up. Not that it matters too much for them this year, because they're pretty much out of a playoff spot anyways. Like, that was a bad loss to Buffalo last night.
I thought it was going to be worse. I thought there was going to be more games condensed into a smaller time frame, which it doesn't look like it is. So it's not really much of an announcement. It's good. I mean, hockey's going to be back. I'm really upset. Do you think people will tune in with the Olympics being on or no? Like, do you think viewership NHL. Will go down a lot? Yeah. Do you think people will care as much about the NHL? I mean, obviously, it's almost completely different time zones. Yeah. So it shouldn't be
That's
too much
of an
issue.
That's what I was just about to think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what time is like 7 p.m. our time in China? Like, I don't know, but it's either really early in the morning for them, I would say.
Are you going to watch the Olympics hockey or no? Do you not care now that the NHL players aren't going?
I don't know.
That's a no. You're not going to watch it.
I'll probably watch the gold, like the men's gold and the women's gold medal games.
Yeah.
Because that might be a little interesting. I feel like Russia will just run away with this because they have by far the best pool to, outside choose the from. NHL to choose from. I don't even know if Canada will medal. Like, to be honest, what they do 4 years, 5 years ago in the Olympics.
They did like AHL guys, I think.
That. Yeah, but how'd they do? What was the? I don't think they medaled.
I couldn't remember. I couldn't tell you.
Because Sweden will have like decent amount to choose from. Like Finland still has a decent amount of people to choose from. Canada still has guys that are good outside the NHL, but like goaltending's not the best.
Let me Google. Who won? Third place was Canada. Canada came in gold, bronze.
Bronze. Okay.
Russia was first. Germany was second.
Germany. Wow.
That was the game. That was the year it was like, what the hell? What? Germany has a.
Was Dreisaitl on that team?
Maybe.
I'm just not remembering how long ago that. I think it was.
No, that was 4 years ago.
Yeah,
so
I think he was still in the league.
He was in the NHL, yeah, for sure. I don't really have much else to say other than that. Do you?
No, I'm pretty set for topics.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Sorry, Ty left about halfway through. Yeah, we don't know where he went. He's just like, sorry guys, I need to go. Something came up. So maybe someone tried to take his car. I don't know. But he's gone and Eric's not here. So I'll be back next week and see you.
See ya.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.